And I think we'll wrap this up, but I come back once again to what that slide there says, that in all things, Christ might have the preeminence, superiority, supremacy, the greatness, that Christ has everything in your life, and everything in your life is tied to who? Him. I am no longer my own. I've been bought with what? A price. The blood of Jesus Christ bought me at Calvary. Have you been bought with the blood? If you're a child of God and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what? You just gave up ownership and you've been bought and you're owned by Him. But we have a landlord, or we have an owner that says, but you still have this free will. You had the free will to receive me. You've got a free will as you're living. But if you stay in my word and read my word and put it into your spirit, and that you have that Holy Spirit in you to lead you and guide you, He will lead you and guide you into all the things of God's truth. Amen? Not lies, not deception, not hocus pocus that the world is full of to make you feel good or to think everything is under control or whatever the case might be. There's still a lot more that has to take place in this old world that we're in. And if I'm around for it, God will give me the strength to whatever I'm to do for His kingdom during that time. I will do it. If He's called me home, praise God for that. If I come back with Christ, praise God for that. But you know what? Just as, you know, Jesus, it's one. The whole thing is already one. You know, Jesus took the keys of Hades from the devil back off of the cross, right? And so the devil is a defeated foe. And I'm going through this life knowing that I'm the winner with Christ in me and the Holy Spirit in me, guiding me, leading me, talking to me, bringing things to light of God's Word. And so we did. I really feel in Colossians and reading it and rereading it and looking at just the first couple of chapters, it's a short book anyway, but in 1:18 or 19 is where I launched off into this, and it says, as He is the head of the body, the church, who's the head of the body? Jesus. He's the head of the body, the church. Christ died for the church. The church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He, Jesus, may have preeminence. God in Jesus is the life form, through that now the Holy Spirit. But we get back to the point is that allowing God to have preeminence, or Christ having preeminence in your life, it kind of tells me I need to let Him call the shots. Now, He's put me on a path, and He's wanting me things to accomplish. But to get those things accomplished, there's many times I go to Him and try to find out, Lord, what is it that I am to do? What is it that I am to do as a pastor of this church? What are we to bring forth to the people to mature them, to perfect them? All I'm here to do is to help one another and myself get to that point in time where we are serving God and nothing else matters to us in life other than our God. You know, and it's not that I'm going to tell you guys to drink Kool-Aid and let's go see Him sooner than we should, but it's like, you know, He wants you here and He wants to be used in you, through you, by you, to put out into the world the things and the message that still goes forth. Out of all the times that salvation has gone on, out of all the times the messages of the cross has continued on, there's still a lot more people out there still need to understand and hear of this. We begin to find this out the more we talk about in current times, where just go out and talk to some younger generations of people and they don't even have an understanding of what the Bible is. They don't even know David and Goliath. They don't even know Meshach and the Shadrach and Abednego. Yeah, those guys. Yeah, it's easy for you. Did you guys take up auctioneering or something before you came to church? Hey, give you the five, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay. But, you know, you talk to people and they don't even know. I talk to people that even sometimes have been a little bit older and been in certain churches. I might have shared this already back in Sunday school or whatever, but you're talking to them about things and you tell them, well, the scripture says this, God's word says this, and they go, really? I didn't read that. I didn't realize that. I didn't know that. And so we've got a time of a lot of people out there that they're void. They've got some of God, but they're void of other parts of God. And especially if they want to stay away from that of the Holy Spirit that we've really been focusing on, because that's really the power and the existence of the church, to where if you want the church to be powerful in today, as back then, once Jesus left, we needed power in this world because he had gone. Well, that power comes by way of the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost working in his church, working through us. Church as a corporate body, church as an individual. Remember 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, you were bought with a price. You're a sanctuary that he has put himself into, and you've been bought with that price of the blood. And now I'm just walking around, and I always get a kick out of it when you tell, you know, people say, well, you can't bring church and stuff into the schools. You can't bring church and stuff into government. Well, if you're a born-again believer of Christ and you're in the government, every time you go into that caucus, you brought the church in there. Every time you go into that classroom, if you're a teacher that has the power and the Holy Spirit and born again of Christ, you're bringing the church into that public setting. No matter what the world tries to do to say you can't bring the Bible in, you can't bring church in, you can't do whatever, if you're a child of God, wherever you go, the kingdom goes with you, the sanctuary goes with you, he's there. Amen. You're not going to shut him down. The world's trying to shut him down from everything in our politics, to our government, to our schools, to whatever. They're even trying to get God out of the churches. Go figure that out. But the church has to remain strong and in power, and the power of that of the Holy Spirit, to stand in those things and say, you can do whatever you want, but we're going to preach the gospel of the message. We're going to call sin what sin is. We're going to call love what love is. We're going to call truth what truth is. And sometimes truth hurts. But truth has to be told. Because right now there's been so many lies over the generations and decades that there's a thread of lies out there that have now become the truth because people have heard it so often that they begin to believe it. You get a liar that says the same thing over and over and over, they begin to believe their lie. They get distorted in their thoughts. The devil is doing a good job of messing up people's thoughts and their minds and where they came from. We got to get into this to get to those things. Well, that's another message in itself. But we got to have Christ in our life. We've got to have him preeminence. He's got to be number one in everything I am about. Last week we shared on some things. Wayne shared a great message last week. And the week before that I had a little bit of this. And Wayne came in and shared a powerful message last week. It's all online. Go to harvesterschurch.org and you can listen to a lot of messages out there. There's probably over 300 and some odd messages on our website. One of these days I'm going to go through there and erase them. But which ones do you erase? I don't know. But they go back. Everything that I've spoke for the last 12 years has been on. It's on the website, on that link. But we talked about his preeminence in creation. I wanted to break this down, that he's the first in all things, and it goes back whether it's from creation to reconciliation, as we covered those two areas, creation and reconciliation, a couple of weeks back. You'll find that on the message online. Today I want to try to get into the last three. Of having first place in wisdom and knowledge, having that first place in our personal observances, and then regarding our Christian living. So the thing is, in wisdom and knowledge of having his, allowing him to have that preeminence, Colossians 2, I'm going to read beginning in 1. For I want you to know what a great conflict. That's a struggle. This is Paul. He's sharing these things with Laodicea and these churches here. And he said, I have for you and those in Laodicea, as far as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, but their hearts may be encouraged, being knitted together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. And verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of what? Wisdom and knowledge. If you would just open your Bible, read Scripture, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and allow the Spirit to begin to unveil what God is talking and meaning in a lot of these Scriptures, you will begin to see it as like that of an onion or something like that, where the layers of things just start being peeled off and you get a clearer understanding. Maybe not right away. There's many things that I've read in Scripture that I still walk away going, has anybody else walked away going, what? What does that really meaning? Or how does that pertain to my life? But as you stay with him and don't give up on him and continue to learn from him, these things become just unveiled before you. But we know that understanding to the knowledge of mysteries of God, both of the Father and of Christ, the richness of the full assurances of understanding. God has put these things out there And he's not meaning for us to live of misunderstanding and not follow these things. He's a God that reconciles us back to him through the head of Jesus Christ. He loves us to that point where he sent him to die for us. He wants to be with us. He wants us to be with him. He's got that purpose for us. We've all been placed here for a purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory. It's one of those things when you go and you begin to minister, especially in a care center facility. And like tonight when I go to Cedar Crest, and there'll be those that come in walking on a cane, on a walker, in wheelchairs, on a oxygen. Some of them are there. Some of them are only there really physically. But you still go out and you give a message of encouragement and what the Word of God is about, and that they still have a purpose. They still have something there to be doing. And if nothing else, just rest before that of God and have the joy of the Lord be there for you. Not to give up and the doom and the gloom of those type things. But we have these things that we want to continue to push out to people to understand what God's Word is about. And that if we can allow that, and there's a hard thing out there because there's a hard time in people's lives to give God or Christ the preeminence in their life. The supremacy of God in your life. Many times we've talked about that. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Well, is he really your Lord? Lord over you means he's a Lord to where he has every aspect of you. We always talk about thinking of ourselves of a house, you know. Does he have only preeminence in the ground floor but nothing in the basement? Does he only have preeminence in the basement and the ground floor but nothing up in the attic? What are you keeping still for yourself because it's my house? It's not your house because, remember, you've been bought. If you sell your house out on the market and somebody buys it, can you still live there and go back whenever you want to keep stuff there? No, once that house has been bought and you've sold it, it belongs to somebody else and you have no rights there. I really, being bought out by Christ, by that of the blood of Jesus, I am not my own. I no longer own this place. I'm sojourning here through this body that's now owned by God, being used by God for a purpose of glorifying God, for a purpose to bring his message across to those that maybe are not with him at this point. But if the people don't hear, how are they going to know? If they don't see Christ in us, how are they going to know and understand those things? And it's not to say that I live a perfect life. Oh, no, no. Far from that. But I got the Holy Spirit in me that convicts me, that says, Tim, you didn't speak right, you didn't say right, you didn't share love there, you didn't think that right, you didn't do this. Oh, Father, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Lord, I want to please you and forgive me. I repent. Give me another opportunity and help me through these things because I want to glorify you. Philosophy of the world. Boy, that'll do a lot, won't it? In Colossians 2:8, it talks about this. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men. I'm going to tell you, man's traditions will kill you. Well, because all it is man's traditions. It's what a bunch of us men get together and we decide something. And we go, that's it. That's what we're going to require. If they don't follow it, whatever, we'll do this, we'll do that, whatever the case might be. Man's traditions. Beware lest anyone cheat you. Literally, plunder you or take you captive. Many times we are taken captive by men's ways, by man's philosophies of things. It's a mind game. They're controlling us or whatever the case might be, or they get you going to where they try to get you so confused in some of these things that before you know it, you're going, well, maybe you're right. Well, no, you're wrong. You were wrong in the beginning, you're wrong now. In some of these things, how man wants to do these things. Beware lest anyone cheat you, plunder you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world. Do you want the principles of the world dictating your life? Do you want the principles of the kingdom of heaven dictating your life? And not according to Christ. So what they're saying, the basic principles of the world and not according to Christ. That's it. That's it. Because they're going to leave Christ out of everything they teach you. They're going to leave anything of the Godhead out of anything that they want you to learn because they're man and they're wanting to put you into what they want you to think and their philosophies and their thoughts of things. And a lot of it is because they don't understand this or that or what. There's guys out there and scientists, they don't even understand themselves. They think they understand something that they've studied, and then before you know it, they study a little bit further and they go, well, you know, what I thought 10 years ago is not what I thought now. It's something totally different. Man's thoughts, man's ways, man's understandings, they continue to change. God's ways, God's plans, God's decisions are always the same. God, the same. Man, we differ. We go like by the head of the wind. We blow this way a while, and then we blow this way. Well, why do you say that, Tim? Well, because one day eggs are bad for you, the next day eggs are good for you. The one day coffee is bad for you, the next day coffee is good for you. The next thing is this, the next thing is that. You listen to the philosophies, you listen to the scientists, you listen to the world of man, and man is, you talk about a split personality. It's like, are we all on the same wavelength of understanding of what nutrition is or what it should be or what it's good for you? No, because it always says, well, the most recent study cancels out that study that was done 10 years ago, 5 years ago. Sometimes this stuff is changing every year, isn't it, folks? Things are boom, 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 changing. Man wants to have an idea. Oh, why is there so much terror and horrendous things happening and all these evil things taking place? What's in the mind of that person? What caused them to go off? What is this? What's imbalanced on them? I say this, if somebody would interview me, I'd say it's simple, evil. Evil covers it. That's why that person just shot whatever amount of people, even if it's one person or 100. That's what took over that person's mind. Evil, the devil. It's like as simple as that. We've shared this before. They've taken dissections of some of these mass murderers' brains trying to figure it out. And one case came back and they said, we couldn't find anything really errant in this guy's brain that would have caused him to do that. Well, duh. Because when evil gets a hold of you, it just controls you. And it could be through whatever upbringing and things of this nature, but it's the evilness in there. It's the divisions of the families. It's the divisions of the church. It's the divisions of the world. It's America has been divided because of so much has been taken out of the family, and the family has been taken out of the church, and the church has been taken out of the government and the schools, and the church has been taken out of the country, of the government or of America. We wonder why we're in such a turmoil of all of this stuff happening. And it's only because the God of this world, Satan, is having control of all these things. And he's using people. That person was probably a nice person when they were born, but something got into them, and the devil just kept chewing away, chewing away, chewing away. Talk about sometimes back we had that lesson on chatterboxes, how the things are on our mind. You know, and I always relate it to that cartoon, the devil and the angel. And the devil was always telling that one cartoon guy, go ahead and do it. It's okay. It's going to be fun. You'll enjoy it. Ha, ha, ha. The angel's over here saying, no, that's not right. You're not doing the right thing. Be a good person. And so that person was having that chatterbox going on. And what happened is if you succumb to that of the one that's the evil one, you're going to do and follow what that evil voice is telling you. And pretty soon you're there and you don't even understand sometimes how you got there. Well, there's hatred out there. Well, there's hatred out in the world because evil is out in the world. And this is not paradise. You try to share this to people. I said, this is not heaven. Heaven is a glorious place without, oh my goodness, it's going to be a perfect place. But we're in a place that's not perfect because of the fallenness of the world and where we're at. But that doesn't mean that we give up. We're here for a plan and a purpose of God. And by that, Jesus was born. Jesus hung on the cross. He rose again. He went to the right hand. And Jesus, before he left, said, I'm coming back. And so if all that transpired in scriptures that we can find, we've got to believe on the other end of it that what he said, he's going to come back, he's going to come back. Hallelujah. This is all the plan, and God is aware of all this stuff going on, but we are here and going through this time, and we've got these men and women philosophically speaking to these things and trying to understand what is going on. And if they want to try to change the whole direction of a company or a country, you name it. Hallelujah. Beware lest anyone cheat you, plunder you, or take you captive. We've had a lot of us been taken captive by the philosophies and empty deceits of men. Many believers are slowed in their spiritual growth for lack of wisdom. Sometimes teaching that stymies the spiritual growth is... Let me read this over again. Many believers are slowed in their spiritual growth for lack of wisdom. Sometimes teaching that stymies spiritual growth is enthusiastically endorsed because believers do not know the scriptures. We should heed Paul's warning against listening to people who pander to the flesh rather than edifying in the truth. Then it talks about this. It says, Beware that human philosophy and erroneous religious traditions are contrary to Christ. Do not be deceived. Hold fast to Christ and honor him to please the Father. Be wise in evaluating spiritual experiences, knowing that they are not to produce pride or elitism. Know the importance of commitment to a local church and of submission to righteous spiritual authority. Be prepared. Keep yourself built up strong in these things. But watch out for the philosophies of this world. So in wisdom and knowledge, give him preeminence. Give him that first place, that superiority in your life, that my training, my teaching, my understandings of things comes through God's scriptures. Wasn't that amazing that you go back in time, and when the schools began to formulate in our country, the only book that was used to teach the class of kids was what? The Bible. It was a wonderful book to be used for historical, for learning, for understanding what life was all about. Wouldn't it be great? It would be nice. It'd take some time to grow into that, but find one area, one school, one place, open up. Hey, this was a school at one time. Let's turn this back into a school, and you know, their course selection, all they've got to bring as a book is a Bible. And let's go back to the teaching of that and see how those kids develop and grow and come out in society compared to those that are out in that other part of learning, which is all kinds of missed conceptions of things, because a lot of the educational books are all built on the philosophies and the educated men and scientists and women or whoever out there that puts these books together. I know there's a lot of things changing in science and history as we learn and grow, but what's happening a lot of our times is that they're wanting to take away anything of our history of the past, because the past really brought us to this point, and because some things in the past were not good, they want to just destroy them and take them out and tear down statues and tear out books and throw this away because this was bad and that was good and blah, 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 blah. And pretty soon you look back and you go, well, what's the history of America? I don't really know. Because whatever that was built on has been tore down. And now they're wanting to build it upon this foundation and on this learn it of what they want us to learn. That's why it's so important to keep our foundation built upon that of Christ that never changes. They might try to take it out of the schools, and they have, and they may try to take even more and more out of the churches, but as we have the foundation of God's word in us, we will be prepared and know what we're doing and what he's about. How about having his preeminence in our personal observances? 2:11. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through the faith in the working of God, and who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So contrary to the false teaching, salvation is not by ritual observances. See, we try to do that. Come to church, take these lessons, get these type of things that you do, and you know, sign our documents, and here we'll give you a certificate and all this stuff, and now you're good to go. You met our guidelines. Uh-oh, there's man. You've met man's guidelines. Contrary to the false teaching, salvation is not by ritual observances. Christ is the fulfillment of that which is typified in the rites of the law, freeing us from the bondage of legalism. Now, we know back in the day, to be considered, you know, Jewish and to be following God's orders, that's where the circumcision was, that of the flesh. Okay? And now we get into the circumcision, and what we're finding out, God's word tells us that he can care less about the circumcision of the flesh. That doesn't make you anything holier than thou or in right standings with God. What he talks about is, you think about what that process was in the Old Testament, and now it talks about the circumcision of the heart, right? And so if our heart has been circumcised, it shows that love, because that's what God is looking at. He's looking at the heart of man. He's looking at, what is that man's heart of? Is that heart filled with hate and anger and bitterness and evil? That's of the world. Is that heart now filled with love, compassion, joy? That's the heart of Christ. Circumcised heart. Where is that heart? And so if we have that preeminence of him in our life, your life will change. Don't you believe that? If we turn our life over to him, it's got to change. If I don't no longer say, I'm not my own, come in and inhabit me, Lord, hallelujah. Lead me and guide me and speak to me. Show me where to go. Show me what to do. Show me what I need to be following and bring honor and glory to you. So in our personal observances, we found it in wisdom and knowledge. It's all let him have that preeminence. On our personal observances and how we got close to him. You know, man's ritual ways, we can get back to that as far as what man says to do is how we get close to that of God. And that's the furthest thing from it. There's a lot of churches nowadays that are still living like that of the Old Testament, where there's a lot of rituals and rules and laws that you've got to follow, and if you don't, then you're out. And it doesn't matter to any of those things. It's what really matters is Christ. Where is Christ at? Well, I didn't know I had to have him. What do you mean? I thought he was just there with part of it. Do you have him as your Lord and Savior? Have you actually repented of your sins? Have you actually said, I am a sinner and I need salvation? I need to be recreated. I need to be born again. I need my spirit. And why is that when we talk about being born again? It's because when sin came into this world, because of what took place back in Genesis, the spirit man died. Oh, I'm born. I've got little babies and all this, and I see as a baby, what do you mean I'm dead? Well, you're dead spiritually. Your spirit man inside of you, it's dead of that to hear anything of God because of that sin that came in and separated and created that void between us. But how did I get that back? I admit that I'm a sinner, but I believe that Christ came and died for me, and by his blood I have been cleansed of my sins. And I'm a new creation. And my feet are on a new path. So we don't want that legalism. We've got to get away from that. I think a lot of that turns into, it makes more power. It's a power thing for man. You know, Jesus had that with those Sadducees and Pharisees, didn't he say? That's where we get that hypocrites. And do you still hear that in today's vernacular when somebody says, well, I go to church. Why don't you come to church? Oh, I don't want to go to that place of hypocrites. They want to tell me how to live, but they're not living it themselves. Well, I'm going to tell you how to live, and you know what? I'm trying to live it the same way as you, and we're all on the same path together, encouraging and praying for one another and being there for one another. But I know that I've not arrived. I'm not a perfect person. Oh, I stand up here, and you're perfect. No, I'm far from perfect, but I'm on his road, and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And when something hits me in the spirit that doesn't please my Father, I want to be quick to say, forgive me. That's why sometimes we get so locked into thinking that, you know, folks out here, I'm glad that you call me, and I'm glad that I hear that you need prayer, and I want to pray with you and all that. But I also wanted, and you've learned this, and you know this, that you are powerful enough that you can pray and ask God's protection and God's needs on your health just as easy as I can. I believe you call, and I call, and then I send it out to others, because all that is others in agreement. We're coming alongside you to pray in interceding. And there's talk about that in God's Word, intercession, praying for one another. And so that's a purpose and one of the assets of a church, or one of the assets of having a church body, a family of God, that we can do that. But if I were to say, Heavenly Father, touch Vicky. Is there any Vickys here today? Touch Vicky! Heal her, touch her. Now, if Vicky said, Lord, heal me and touch me, did he hear her too as far as hearing me? Yes, you know, he hears us. But we will pray in agreement, and we will keep it, and it's good to know, and please don't stop telling me your prayer needs. But it's also to let people know that you have that authority, you have that in you once we become children of God, that we have that advocate. We have Jesus Christ at the right hand of God the Father interceding for us. Amen. And we got the Holy Spirit on top of that. 2:16, further on, just finally getting out of this as far as there is no need for legalism or ritualism in Colossians 16:23. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or the Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knitted together by the joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from who? God. Therefore, if you have died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to those regulations? To say, like, do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. Remember? According to the doctrines and commandments of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility and neglect of body, but are of no value against the indulgences of the flesh. here again, it's just getting down to that point of there's no need for legalism or ritualism. It's not going to get you any further along. Under the old covenant, the law systems only allowed limited access to God. Isn't that something? And now we have what? Full access to God. The new covenant no longer poses rules of cleansing, but calls to faith and acceptance of the completed work of Jesus. We are not to allow anything other than the Word of God to control or judge us. We are neither judged holy nor unholy by external regulations, but by the conditions of our heart. The heart. Remember in God's Word where He says man looks on the outside? Wow, you're cleaned up. You look good. You're clean shaven. You got nice clothes on. Oh, you're a perfect picture of a religious, beautiful person. But God looks at the heart. God looks at the inside to find out really what kind of person you are. See, our outer appearances can fool those around us. Oh, look. Ooh, whoa. Our communication, the way we talk, it can say, oh, boy, that lady, oh, that guy, he's really close to God. Listen to the scriptures that he's reeling out. Listen to those things that he knows. Blah, 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 blah. But then God would look at it in the inside, and that guy is just a vile, vile person. It's like, what, a painted sepulcher? Remember talking about that in the garden? You're just like, you've got dead, dry bones inside, but your outside is pretty white. You know, you look good, but you're not right inside. And those type of things. So it's what God looks at is on the inside of us. And that's what, for myself and yourself, is what we are looking at, is that preeminence and that supremacy and all that, is that it's nice to be changed on the outside. It's nice, you know, to be clean shaven, brush your teeth, comb your hair and all that. And I'm glad everybody does that. I'm glad everybody puts deodorant on. It looks like everybody's still sitting next to everybody that you came in on, so nobody's kind of said, ooh, I'm getting away from that guy. But it's what God is looking at on the inside that he's really paying attention to, and that's what we've got to look at as well. And then lastly, and as we get into this, is regarding our Christian living. In 3:3, Colossians 3:3, it talks about this. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Prior to that, 3:1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at where? The right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on this earth. See, that's all these things that are taking place around me and all. As many of you here have also done too. I think we've kind of like, what news channel? There's news channels out there? I don't know, is CNN and Fox and MSNBC, are they still on? I couldn't even tell you, because I don't even go to them anymore. I don't even want to listen to them. I'll listen to one newscast, and that'll be maybe the local and then national one time a day for just the spots that I want to hear, and after that I turn them off. I don't even watch the whole newscast. It's like, okay, I've had enough of that. Let's go to this. Let's go back to Green Acres or Beverly Hillbillies or something, you know? Set your mind on things above, not on things on this earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Hallelujah. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Hallelujah. He is our life. That's why I can go through this life, because my life is not my life. My life is his life. My joy, my happiness. Remember as I was driving up that road and I look out there, and I'm like a 63-year-old guy, and I'm still looking at what kind of shape the clouds are. Hey! It reminded me as a kid or looking up there and just seeing all these things. For Paul, demonstrating the life-changing power of the gospel is equally as important as defending it against the error. The Colossians are able to fulfill the commandment daily to display their intention and affection towards spiritual things because of their identification with Christ by death to the past and their empowerment for the present by that of the resurrection of Jesus. And that's the power that we have. We have that power because Jesus rose. We have that power because Jesus ascended. When Jesus ascended, he tells the disciples, I will send someone else after me. And we go on through that whole thing of a helper and a paraclete and the power, a dunamis power. One last area, we can avoid immorality and bless others. In 5:14, chapter 3, 5-14, it says, therefore, put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil, desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off these things. You're to put off this anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language that comes out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on what? The new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and all and all. A lot of things change when we receive Christ. And as we all still go through some of those areas, we're still putting some of this stuff off. There's still some baggage on us that we've got to let go. You know, the old man, the old self, the old ways. And we've got to latch on to these new things that comes with that of receiving Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Put away those angers and wraths and malice. You know, we can do all of these things as we turn them over to God and say, oh, Father God, help me get rid of these things. And Lord, I want to just be that new man, renewed in that knowledge of him. Father God, thank you. Hallelujah. So we can avoid immortality and bless others. That's the whole thing. Don't you want to be a blessing? I just be a blessing to others. It warms my heart when somebody just tells you that, you know, not that I'm looking at pridefulness and I want to be puffed up, but when somebody just comes up and says, you know, and that's happened at some of these services outside in the community where they just come up and say, you know, Pastor Tim, that was really wonderful message you had, or that really touched my heart, or I was going through this and that word that you shared, and maybe it was the time afterwards where we're taking more time to pray with the individuals now in those places, but prayer is out there. And just being able to know that something in my talk was really that of God using me as a ability to speak through me to touch their lives in a way that they needed to be touched. Hallelujah. Father, we love you and we thank you for this day and all the things that are abounding in it. Lord, I thank you, Father, for those of us that are here that have heard your word today. I pray that it was your word continuing to minister into their hearts and into their spirits, Lord, to lead them and to guide them into the greater things that you would have for them right now, Father God. Father, I just know, as we all know here, that every day we're learning and growing and changing closer to be with you, Father God. And so, Father, you're there. Thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy that you bestow upon all of us. Thank you, Lord, that as we continue to get closer to you, Lord, you're there with arms wide open. Hallelujah. Waiting to receive us. We thank you and we love you. And I pray right now, Lord, if anybody's got a mountain in front of them this week, that mountain be removed. My Savior, you can do that, Lord. You're a mighty God. Let your light shine. Let the whole world see Jesus live in me so that they can see that light. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.